place. We ask for your spirit to illuminate your word to us through Ivan. We ask that Ivan is open to your spirit as he shares with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. As we look out this morning, I think the seasons are changing again. We have some snow come in here, but I think we still have something to be thankful for. I really appreciated in our Bible study this morning how Ray mentioned that freedom sometimes is not as much what we're delivered from as what we're taken into. And that's, I love that thought. I really love that thought. This morning, the title of the message that I want to share is A Rich and Satisfying Life. And this morning I want us to consider, I want us to contemplate our own lives, the way we do life. I want us to search our hearts and challenge ourselves. The intent or the way we live, why we live it the way we do. I'm going to share a couple things that they may be uncomfortable to you. You may not agree with me, I don't know. But I just pray that as I share, that you would listen with the thought of what is Jesus speaking to the church? What is Jesus speaking to you personally? Because end of the day, I have opinions, you have opinions, and we share life, and we share what we see. And I just pray that you would be able to sort through that and find what God has for you, because I believe the Spirit is not handicapped in interpreting something for you. So I just pray that you would find your way in that. When Jesus was here, he said that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to lead us into all truth. And I pray that today, as we look at God's word, we look at different stories, we look at life, that he would lead each one of you and lead me into a deeper truth. So this morning, there's four different things I would like to address. The first one is identify what patterns of belief or a mindset are. What is a way of thinking? What is a mindset? What is a belief? Then I want to, from there, want to look at a chapter, John 9, and we want to see, observe the effects of a belief or a mindset in that story. Then I would like to take just a little bit of time and judge ourselves. And then from there, I want us all to choose a response. So that is kind of the way I have structured this message. And my question this morning is, does mindset or belief matter to us as individuals? Does what we believe change how we live and how we relate to one another? What do you think? We're going to need the mic occasionally here. I would hope some people will share. There'll be a couple times that I will ask individuals for feedback. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a story of a mindset. It's just a funny little story, but you will see how, depends how you look at something, how different the results will be. So there was one time a shoe company that decided they wanted to market some shoes, and they sent this individual out to do kind of a campaign, see if they can sell these shoes. The first guy that went out, he responded, "There is no potential here. Nobody wears shoes." And the second guy goes, "There is a fantastic opportunity. No one wears shoes." So that's just a way of two complete different ways of looking at life and how those affect us. How many of you think that growing up, we were taught mindsets, we embrace mindsets without really thinking of it? I think we did. And I'd like to do a little bit of a poll this morning. And there's a specific mindset that I'd like to explore this morning. And that is, have you ever heard this statement or this comment? That is how we've always done it. Has anybody ever heard that, or is that just a very Amish thing? That's how we've always done it. Our church group has remained faithful. We have stayed the same way for hundreds of years. I'll give you another little story of just how observed some things are when we do it as we always have done it. Now, my daughters will correct me here because I was thinking this morning, I don't know how to say it anymore. Is it vegan or vegan? Vegan. I get those words mixed up, but if there's any vegan here, I'm sorry. But when I was growing up, something happened in our community that 40 years later I remember. So I was probably about 7, maybe 10, I don't know. One of my friend's dads went to another Amish community, a little bit north of us, and he came upon this scene. They were butchering a cow. So the cow was down on the ground. You can just let your imagination go where you want to. But these guys were crawling inside the cow and pulling the guts out. And then he said, "Do you know if you'd hang the cow up, the guts would just fall out?" And they were like, "Nope, always good enough for my dad. That's how we'll do it." Just like, that's true. And I remember, I still remember that, like 40 years later. It stamped something on me, on my brain, that was dumb, right? Like, there's some things we just change. We just change. But is there a possibility that some of us believe subconsciously that change is fundamentally wrong? Do you think there's a possibility that we could believe that? I think there is. But I'd like to this morning look at a scripture. So you can turn to your Bibles at Romans 12:2, and I'd like to have somebody else then read a different translation. I'm reading from New Living Translation, so if somebody else has a different translation, I'd like to have that read too. "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Would somebody want to volunteer to read that in a different version? Just anybody. Anybody have a different version Bible?
"And let not your behavior be like that of this world, but be changed and made new in mind, so that by experience you may have knowledge of the good and pleasing and complete purpose of God." That's Bible in basic English.
Thank you. So that also states that our thinking, the way we process stuff, needs to be changed if it's not correct. Is that right? How do we reconcile a changing of how we think with believing that it is better never to change? I'd like to have some input. How do you reconcile that? Because a lot of people put their hands up that they subconsciously might think that.
A mindset I had to overcome was that beware what you change, because it's really hard to change it back to what it was. If you change something, it's much easier to change something than it is to wish you hadn't.
Okay. Ray here.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. One thing that became, like, it was kind of a painful self-reflection moment for me, it was when I realized that I have biases, period, and that we're not in any position to change the way we think until we recognize that we are not entirely objective, that there's things that influence the way we think, and until we recognize that that may not always be correct, we're not in a position to change the way we think.
Thank you. Anyone else have any thought on that? I think one thing for myself that I sometimes look at is the only reason we can change the way we think is if truth overrules what we've believed. If truth is stronger, if the truth is different than what we've believed, our minds need to be renewed, they need to be changed. And I say truth because I could have used God's word, but we know that a lot of people twist God's word to actually mean something different. And we know God's word is truth. So I think if truth has to overrule a belief, a mindset that we have, that is the only reason we can embrace change. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, he will use, well, I guess the question before that is it important for us as people to love truth, to want to change if truth is telling us to change? Is it important for us? In Thessalonians 2:10 it says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So this morning I just want to ask ourselves, would we be willing to embrace any truth that comes our way if we are living a certain way that is not true, that is not godly? From here, I'd like to then go into a scripture in Matthew 9 where Jesus healed a blind man. The Pharisees there knew that we were supposed to keep the Sabbath. They knew, they understood in their worldview what the Sabbath was, and they could not embrace that miracle of healing because it did not align with their belief of Sabbath. So we're going to read through Matthew 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. And as we go through here, I'd like you to think about this. The narrative shifts from light to darkness, or darkness to light, from condemnation to grace, the religious community speaking and Jesus speaking. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sin? Note the mindset. Someone is to blame. Who is it? And then Jesus says, it is not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told them, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed his and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Someone said he was, and others said, no, he is just like him. And again, the reason we're reading the chapter here is we want to be asking ourselves, the Pharisees had a mindset. How was that affecting how they saw this story? And then ultimately we want to go further on today in the message, we want to look at how some things may be affecting our worldview because of our mindset. And then, but the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. "So he washed it away. He put the mud over my eyes, and then he washed it away. I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Jesus working on the Sabbath requires the Pharisees to reject the goodness of God because they believed they understood the Sabbath. And that's my challenge today is there anything in our lives that we believe, and because we believe it, we're missing grace of God upon our life? Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man? Who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man, had been blind and could now see. So they called his parents. They asked him, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?" His parents replied, "We know this is our son, that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough. Ask him." Do you see how fear and intimidation is leading the narrative here? Have you ever seen something like that in our settings? So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner." And again, that conclusion was all being arrived because they believed he had broken the Sabbath. "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind, and now I see." "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" "Look," the man exclaimed, "I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Just had to think of a question like that is almost coming from a confused individual speaking with a childish perspective of just simple faith. Like, "I'm healed. Do you want to become a disciple too?" Because he just couldn't track with where the Pharisees were at, because he was healed. Then they cursed him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." "Why, that's very strange," the man replied. "He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." It was then said, "You were born a total sinner," they answered. "Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue. Harsh judgment from those that believed they understood the truth. Spiritual blindness. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty," Jesus replied. "But you remain guilty because you claim to see." From this, I just want to now just simply go through, and we can see how the Pharisees had related to the blind man. We can see how they believed something very strongly, and because of that, they rejected the blind man. They were not able to celebrate his healing. They were not able to rejoice with him. They were not able to embrace him as a brother, because the scripture said, "Thou shalt not work on the Sabbath," and they believed that, right? The scripture they were embracing was not wrong, but they missed the heart of God completely. And I just want us to ask ourselves, is there something we're believing that we're missing the heart of God completely? Completely. But we're dead right. Just give a little bit of a story. So, my wife and I grew up Amish, like older Amish, and 20 plus years ago, we left. And we were excommunicated and shunned because we were disobedient. And we know disobedience is a sin of witchcraft, right? There's a lot of stuff you got to reconcile here. And we also see scriptures where it says a brother that is living in sin, you should not eat with them, right? I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, my mom and two of my sisters came up to visit us. They drove an hour and a half, and they brought their own thermos of coffee along because they could not eat our coffee. And it was all on scripture. You look at this and you might laugh about it. But my question is, what about ourselves? Is there something we're blinded to? Is there something we are embracing, we're holding, and we're hurting the body of Christ? I don't have something in mind. Like, there's not something I'm thinking of this morning, but I think we personally need to ask ourselves, we need to judge ourselves. Is there a belief we have that is actually hurting the body of Christ? Our mindset. The Pharisees could not rejoice with the healing of the blind man because their interpretation of Scripture, it is Scripture, violated, would have caused Jesus to violate that. So, your mindset, our mindset, my mindset, is there a possibility that that is keeping us from another level of just experiencing Jesus more fully? So, with this backdrop of this story, I now want to go into the scripture that I really want to speak on today, and that is John 10, verse 1 through 10, but it is 10 specifically that I want to speak on. And that is where Jesus says, he says, "All who have come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Sorry. The scripture I wanted to have is, a thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But then he says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." I'm going to just read through that. So Jesus had walked away from healing the blind man, and then he starts saying, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. So this is how he explained it. I tell you the truth. I am the gate to the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me, through Jesus, will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And then he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But this is the very reason that Jesus came. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, to live a fulfilled life. See, in life, we all face things. Satan brings things against us, or things happen. God allows things to happen that would be capable of destroying us completely if we would allow them. And I'd just like to speak this over you, that if there is something in your life that is looking like it will destroy you almost, it's almost too much to bear, that Jesus has said the very purpose he came is to give you a rich and satisfying life. We do not become a follower of Jesus by doing good. We become a follower of Jesus by entering into the kingdom through Christ, who is the only way. My burden this morning is, have we been tempted to move towards a works-based salvation? Does the way we relate cause people to enter through the gate, Jesus Christ? Or do they feel pressured to enter in another way? I also want to just bring this out, that we obey the commandments of God because we love him, not because those commandments bring salvation, but because we love them. That is a very big difference, a very distinct difference. And Jesus said that he is the way. And this, John 17:3 says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and the one you sent to earth. My question that I want to leave with you this morning is, we have a choice to make. As we live our life with each other, as we relate one to another, and also how I believe will direct how I live, do we believe Jesus is the way? Do we believe that his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life? Is that what we really believe inside? Or do we believe there's things we need to do to become right with God? May we as a church body, as individuals within that church body, may we be rivers of life that would flow, God's grace would flow through us, that we can communicate to anyone around us, to those that we work with, those that we live with, that God is for them and not against them. That Jesus is here to give them a rich and satisfying life. And this morning, as you contemplate that, as you search your own heart, are there things that I believe that are hindering me from being able to express the grace of God? We have a choice to make this morning. Will we choose to commit to find truth in that matter? Sometimes it's not going to be clear to us, but will we commit to find the truth of that matter so that we as a church, we as individuals, might walk freely? And I love, again, just the comment that was made this morning. Freedom is so many times more than what we've been delivered from, but it is a place of where we get to be, where we get to live, and that we might walk in that freedom. Just pray that as you search your hearts, as you seek directions from God, you know, God is a good God. We do not have to fear that we will become deceived. I actually believe that. There was a time I believed that I would become deceived, and I was fearful of that. But if we have humble hearts, if we listen to the Spirit, we have no need to fear of deception, because He's a good God. If we go astray, He's going to lead us back. And that's why I can speak this morning of this thing of that we should search our hearts, is because if we've gone astray, I don't know if this is the right way of saying, but God is not so threatened. He's a loving God. He's asking you to come back. He just wants to draw you to Himself. And let's allow that to happen. Let's allow that to happen in our personal lives, in our corporate lives. And again, I just want to say with that too that I love our church here. This message is no message of condemnation to anybody. It's just, I think God is calling us deeper. And let's go, because where He is, it is good things. God bless you.